And we turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, and to verse 11. The book of Proverbs, chapter 20, and verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, and whether it be right. A child is known by his doings. But let's not begin there. Let's begin with grown-ups. Of course, it is right that children should respect grown-ups. Children perhaps should think in one way that grown-ups can do no wrong. But on the other hand, children see parents unfairly cross. Children see teachers lose their temper. Children see other things go on. Though they want to be respectful to grown-ups, they know very well that grown-ups sin. And it is a healthy thing for us to understand that whether we be children, whether we be teenagers, whether we be young men and women in the prime of life, whether we be experienced old hands, or whether we be grandparents or older, none of us is free from sin. Not our job to guess what sins other people might be involved with. We don't want to know about them because we might be tainted too. But first of all, we need to think that a grown-up is known by his or by her doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. First of all, it speaks here of being known by our doings. And the reputation first spoken of here is our contemporaries. We're known by how we act among those of our own age group and as others look at us. We're known by the things we do. It's interesting here that what is not being talked about is the things that we might think but not do. The things that we might... Now, the Pharisees made the mistake of thinking that if they didn't actually commit adultery but only thought of it, or only thought of doing things but never did them, that they were without sin. And Jesus makes it quite clear that though the sins may not be equal, it being obviously worse to do something than not to do it, nevertheless it is still sinful to think things that are wrong, to entertain thoughts and sights that are not good. But this text is talking really not about the things that remain in the heart, not about the things that are secret, but the things which everybody may notice. A grown-up is known by his or by her doings, by his or by her actions, by his or by her deeds. The things that they do in the family, the things that they do in the workplace, the things that they do at leisure, the behaviour they exhibit wherever they are. And so a grown-up is known by these things. And particularly the Holy Spirit here, through Solomon, emphasises two aspects. The purity of the work and the righteousness or rightness of it. Even a child is known by his doings, and a grown-up, of course, is known too, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. It's very difficult, in a way, to preach about the things that have to do with purity, because you do not want to go planting the things that are impure that others may not know about. So I take it here that everyone knows the plague of his or her own heart. The word pure means unmixed, unadulterated, and therefore that is the key to discern whether your doings are pure. Are they single-minded towards God? Are they faithful and single-minded to your husband, your wife, your employer? Are they single-minded to those that which is entrusted to you? Do you have that and that solely in mind? How unmixed are you in the motives? For your doings will be noticed if they are not straightforward, if they are not surely clear and pure. Whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Now the word in scripture, the word right, a right scepter for example, can mean righteous and it can mean simply correct. And here it conveys something of both of those meanings. Our work is to be correct, our work is to be righteous, our work is to be just, it is to be genuine, it is to be honest and honourable, it is to be done in the best, with the best gifts that we possibly can muster. And our work is noted. People see the degree of honesty that we put into something, the degree of effort that we put into something, the direction that we put these things into. But we're known by whether our work be pure and whether it be right. But of course, not only do other people notice, God knows. And so again, this work is known by his doings, her doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. It is an uncomfortable thing that people notice about us, the things that are just off. But it is more than a little uncomfortable that God notices these things. We do not like to think that God notices these things. And because we don't want to accept these things, we blame the preacher. Ahab, the troubler of Israel, the pot called the kettle black. Ahab, the troubler of Israel, called Elijah the troubler of Israel. And so it is that when the Lord who knows us, when it is pointed out to us because we are going along recklessly, that the Lord who is angry with the wicked every day knows these things about us, we call the preacher, we call the Bible, we call however we heard about such things that we didn't want to hear about, the troubler of Israel. But we are our own trouble. God knows. God knows everything. He, of course, knows the things that we think and don't do, which mankind does not know. And in a way, that is worse to contemplate, because the things that man can't pray about before, because they don't know before God, God does know. But what a dreadful thing it is when men have to pray to God that we might be taken out of the scene, out of the way of their lives, because we're spoiling it from them. Our example is so bad, our efforts are so bad, our company is so unpleasant, our words are so rotten, that really they pray to the Lord, can we not move, or can they not be taken away? When God knows the things that we do, and maybe others even are praying because they're so dreadful, we ought to be reminded by the gospel that we are known. We are known in the deepest place of our hearts, but our action, we're told that the Lord pondereth the ways. The word ponderous means a weighing machine or a weight that goes on such a machine. The Lord pondereth. He weighs the hearts. It's a tremendous picture that the Bible gives us. That if it were necessary for time to be spent, of course God doesn't need that time, but God actually spends time, so to speak, thinking about us and weighing up our words and our deeds and our situations. He actually ponders what is to be done. What will be the outcome of it? Where will it all lead to? But he ponders the way. A child is known by his doings. And the reason I felt it quite legitimate to begin with grown-ups, I didn't want to pillory children particularly, but the scripture says, even a child is known by his doings. That is to say that there are things in life that we do not expect a child to be held responsible for. There are things they don't understand. There are things they can't learn. We're told, for example, which has nothing to do with the subject, but just to show the developing of a child, that no child under the age of 8 can really judge the speed of a vehicle coming along the road that they're about to cross. That they do not have the faculty actually to get it right and to judge speed and distance. So that a child, at least until they're 8, and of course higher speeds are difficult. I wear the particular type of glasses that I wear, which enables me to look into my mirror in the and watch cars coming on the fast lane of a motorway, because if I had the whole way across here, I'd only be able to see at that level, short-sighted, and I need to know. Because if you're going at 70 miles an hour along a motorway and another car's approaching at 110 behind you, you need to get it spot on. And that's just an illustration. But the scripture says that a child, even a child, that the things which grown-ups do and could be held accountable for, a child also may do and can be held accountable for. Even a child is known by his doings. Children know that's true. A child will know if there is another child in the class who habitually cheats. They'll know if there's a child in the class who tries to tell tales. They will know if there's a child in the class who tries to make a favourite of teacher against the others. They will know if there is a child in the class who is jealous. They will know if there's a child in the class who is spiteful. And so even a child may know and understand that children are known by their doings, because they know it themselves. And so the scripture says that a child is known not only by children, but by grown-ups. Sometimes, of course, children can deceive grown-ups. The other children know what's going on, but the grown-ups don't always see it. The children may know that someone smokes down the road around the corner, but the parents may not know. They may find out eventually. But a child is known. It gets known. It gets round. It soon is understood. And a child is known by his doings. Again, the same thing is true. The secret thoughts of the heart of a child are not being talked about here. But children do have secret thoughts. Children can feel very bitter about things. Children can feel that things are very unkind. Children can feel that things are all loaded against them. And these things, to a degree, may be true. And in the mind of a child, it may seem worse than it actually is. But a child sees as a child sees. A child grows up, and you will remember these, those of you who are grown up, that you're just you. And I'm sure that I'm not alone in human nature. Well, I've talked with enough people to know that it's not so. But you see, there comes a day when you wonder, why is it I'm so naughty? Why is it I get so boiled up? Why is it I get so angry? Where is all this coming from? I suddenly found it in me. I didn't learn it of anybody, but suddenly it was there. It was welling up. Where does this bitterness about people come from? Why have I got it? How is it that it's there in me? I've always thought that it was unfair, for example, that children in South Africa, white children, should be pilloried for being white South Africans. The thought was this: if you've got a 10-year-old who's white in South Africa and a 10-year-old who's black in South Africa, you'll understand I was brought up and observing these things when I was a child in apartheid days. But you see, the child has been there 10 years. A white child has never known anything. He's just him or her. He's just grown up in that place. He knows no other land than South Africa. And to be told by a 10-year-old who's black, who knows no more of South Africa than he does or she does, that he doesn't belong, whereas the black one does, where's the fairness in it? Where's the reality in it? What does it mean? Do you feel, and he's a child who would feel isolated, who would feel the injustice of it, that here I am, I know nothing else. And so it is that children grow up, all sorts of situations. They don't know that certain things are wrong. If these things are done in the family, and other people outside the family may pillory them for it, or may make unfair comments, and they don't quite know what's going on, but in their family these things go, and they have never known anything else. And it's hard to understand from within what's going on in the world around. A child then may be very lost, have all sorts of fears. We never got to the bottom of our eldest son, who's now 42, 44, but he would come most fearful and tearful. It's the pictures, Mummy, it's the pictures, Daddy. Something he was seeing on the wall. We think he was dreaming, but we never really get to the bottom of it. And even a child goes through these things, perhaps a child more than any. But the child is known in the secret things. And a child is known by his doings. And I'm very interested in this text that I didn't mention for the grown-ups. But the thing is very positive. It's not suggesting that a child is going to be bad, though a child by nature is. But it says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. The implication is whether his work be pure or not, whether his work be right or not. But it actually speaks about the good things. And a child is known. A child is known whether his work is pure, whether he has one eye only on the good of the family, on the good of those round him, whether he only has an eye to himself or to herself, whether the ways are right, whether the things that he does are helpful, and whether they're kind, and whether they're true, whether they tell truth. John, in the letter that we read, wrote to little children separately from fathers and from young men, because there were things that were particularly apt to them. And he speaks about the pardon which they know in Christ. The little children know about the forgiveness of Christ and the pardon. But that is also a chapter which speaks about liars. And a child is known. Do they tell lies? Do they do things that are wrong? Even a child is known by his doings. Even a child. Grown-ups. But there's not a cut-off point at 18 or a cut-off point at 10. Even a child is known by his doings. it's an interesting thing that this text is individual. It doesn't say even children are known by their doings, or grown-ups, whether their work be pure and whether their work be right. It says even a child. That is to say, each of us is on our own in our doings. Each of us is responsible and held responsible before God for our doings. This is a thing that none of us can escape. No wonder the Lord Jesus says that the gate is narrow that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But we have to face this alone. Now, a little child, at least at a certain stage of growth, will hide behind mother or father when other people are around. They go through that coy stage. But you cannot hide behind mother or father in the matter of giving an account for your doings as a child. A child has to take up responsibility for the things that are there. And even when there are things that are part of a personality that you have, you have to take responsibility for the control of them, if you're a child, even as a grown-up does, for not sinning in the situation in which your character is out of joint, so far as you can, but to take responsibility for it. Even a child is known by God and known by others, even known by other children, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. And the clear message here is that children need a saviour, that grown-ups need a saviour. For if we have sinned, then there is only one way for the blotting out of sin, and that is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A grown-up must have that blood spilt for them. A grown-up with a lifetime of sin urgently needs the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be shed for them. They earnestly need to plead with the Lord Jesus Christ that the sins which they're now repenting of and confessing may be dealt with once and for all, so that they may have fellowship with the Lord in forgiveness of sins, fellowship with the Lord's people, and ultimately access to heaven's glories and the presence of the Lord Jesus in the glory. Now, it would not be fair, would it, if a child was excluded from this? Even a child is known by his doings. But what a terrible situation it would be that grown-ups would be known by God, known by man, and be sinful, and know that they have a saviour, the Lord Jesus, to whom they can turn, and who will pardon them and accept them and love them and keep them. But the children couldn't have that. Wouldn't that be terrible? So we see in the Bible everywhere that Jesus welcomed children. That Jesus, being utterly just and perfect, caused that his blood should be shed for the youngest as well as the oldest. That little children who repent of their sins, little children who are aware that they are lost, little children who do not know what is becoming of them, little children who may find themselves in modern family situations in a situation in which they're out of control, the situation is like a flood around them and there's no rescue, no hope. If there were no saviour for them, how unfair that would be. But the Lord Jesus, he comes to children as he comes to grown-ups. He comes to us all alike, and all in our measure, for the particular sins that are known to be part of our life. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ avails across the board, from the youngest to the oldest, or the oldest to the youngest. Even a child is known when a grown-up is known, it stretches down to a child. But when a grown-up is saved, that is also, there is an access to children also, that they may be saved. So when the scripture says here, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right, it's not getting at children. It's not putting children down with the pressure that children often think grown-ups take in doing that, which of course they don't take that pressure for the most part. No, this is saying that God himself looks at the human race and nobody deserves to be saved. If any sinner is going to be saved, it has to be by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be entered by repentance and confessing of sins to the Saviour. But we may be saved and enter into eternal life. And that is not kept away from children. When the disciples told the mothers from Jerusalem not to bother Jesus with their children, Jesus was cross about it. And he told his disciples that that would not do. And made sure that those children were in fact brought to him. The Lord Jesus extends his salvation, the pardon of his blood, to every child who will come to him. Age is of no consequence. The Holy Spirit might awaken a very young person to understand the situation in which they are and to trust in the Lord Jesus. And among the people that I've met, I can't speak for everybody, but those who've been saved when they've been very young seem to me to have gone on with the Lord. You all know, because I've told you about the lady who was four. She was converted when she was four, and she remained a powerful Christian all her life and died at 99. So she was 95 years, a born-again believer. And the fact that she was saved when she was four was not a blight upon her, as if she then wasn't going to live it out. She lived it out always. She always believed it, and as she grew, the faith grew within her and inside her. But it was based on the Lord Jesus, and it was based on an understanding of the blood of Christ cleansing from all sin, and it held through all the growing up stages. It wasn't suddenly to be rejected at 12, or at 16, or at 25. It grew with her. And this is a good thing for parents to think of. You do not have to be afraid that your child might be converted at 3, because you think, well, when they're 6, they'll throw it away. They won't. Not unless you encourage them to. Or sort of by the way you deal with them, imply to them they're not really a proper Christian because they only came to the Lord when they were 3, and they've got to sort of redo this at every age. Well, of course, we all have to come before the Lord again and seek his pardon. But the thing is genuine. The thing is necessary. Because if a 3-year-old fell out of the pram, if a 3-year-old was struck by a car, if a 3-year-old broke his skull, they would need that salvation, because everybody's lost. Everybody born of man is lost, unless the Lord Jesus finds them. This is a great mystery. But all I'm saying is that the gospel is open to all, even a child. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. What a wonderful thing it is to come to the Lord Jesus and from thenceforth your works to be pure and your works to be right. For the things of jealousy, for the things of envy, for the things of pride, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the pride of life, these things to have been had a fateful blow, for you to have been delivered from them at any age is the most glorious thing the world knows. If the whole nation knew it, there would not be these riots. In revival, when large scale Christianity has prevailed in villages, in Wales and in other places, pubs have been closed, police have not been needed, all sorts of things have happened. The Lord transforms the life. I trust then that from the oldest to the youngest, even to a child, that all who have sinned will call upon the Saviour, call upon the name of the Lord, trust and believe in him forever, and value that great deliverance for which he gave his life. Amen.